Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air here tonight. We do pray that you bless the program, use it for your glory tonight. Pray for those that are out on the roads here in the northern part of the country with the snow, and also pray for those down in Florida there, in Duet, Florida, where they had the tornado that took the life of those two people there. We just pray that you would just minister to the families of the people there, and that, again, that you can help people to find solace in their relationship with you. Father, bless now, and again, use the program for your glory. We thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. I'll tell you what, depending on where you're at, there's different types of weather everywhere. Bad weather down in the south, snowy weather up here. We left our house today trying to head up here to the station, and I'll tell you what, the further north I came up the highway, the snowier it got. We had a bit of snow at our house. I think it's a little warmer here. It was 5 degrees at our house, but I do live down a little valley. It's 5 degrees, and I think up here it was closer to 9 degrees. So you wouldn't think that 4 degrees makes that much difference. But I could tell it was cold. When I got into the car, my coat kept crackling, and my wife was laughing because of my coat crackling. But getting up here towards where the station is up here in Independence, Ohio, and for our listeners that are driving around in the Northeast Ohio area, if you're on 77 North or on 480, it's getting pretty snow-covered. We got off the highway and fishtailed coming through the intersection because Rockside Road out there was pretty slippery and snow-covered out here. So just be careful if you got to be out. But if you're in a part of the country where you're enjoying warm weather and no snow, I guess we'll be over for the show next week, maybe to your neck of the woods. It gets tiring sometimes, but glad you're here with us tonight, and stay warm. If you're in a cold area, stay safe. And if you're driving, keep your hands on the wheels. And if you got a chance to give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673 is the number, 888-677-9673. And we'll start off the program tonight with Carol calling in tonight. Carol, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you. And I just want to take a minute to say I just praise God that Pastor Abedini was released and the four others. That was really wonderful news this weekend.
Yes, and for the people listening, it was, I was going to see if I could find that real quick here. But he had been held in Iran for some time now. And I certainly praise the Lord for his release. His family's grateful for that. I was trying to find the article here real quick, but I'm just not. Oh, there it is. Saeed Abedini, and along with several others. It's one of those things too, because I got kind of mixed feelings. You know, that Iran gave up five prisoners and that they were holding. But there are several others that they refused to even talk about, and our State Department, our Secretary of State, and our President didn't even press them on it. And we gave up, I believe, seven hardened terrorists and agreed to stop chasing, I think, 14 others, and said that we would release over $1 billion in resources. And, you know, I'm so thankful for this man being released, but at the same time, yeah, you know, we could have done better. We could have got more people released. I know there's an FBI agent that's being held over there, And there may be another, I think there's another Christian that's being held. I can't think of who that is right now, but there's at least two others that are in prison and several others that are believed to be held in. So it's one of those things. Certainly it's an answer to prayer that Abedini has been released, and a number of people have been praying for that, and we've mentioned it on occasion on the program over. I'm trying to think how long he's been in prison there, I just wish that our State Department pressed a little harder and got more people released and did something to help prevent Iran from becoming a nuclear power, which unfortunately. The agreement that they made is probably going to further that. I was telling my wife last night when we were talking about it, I said, you know, if I didn't understand the fact that the Bible says that it tells us that Iran is going to have something to happen to it that's going to prevent it from being a major player for a little while until it yokes up with the Ezekiel 38 federation or confederation or whatever you want to call it that tries to invade Israel. There's something's going to happen there, I think, that's going to knock Iran's power down a few notches. And I think it may stem from an attack or a battle between Iran and Saudi Arabia that's very real possibility right now. Most people don't know the tension that's going on there right now. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we got diverted from your question there a little bit, so...
Yes, and I'm sorry, I don't have the references. I was quickly trying to look them up, and I couldn't find them. I know there's mm-hmm. one in Galatians, and there's one in, I believe it's 1 Peter,
okay.
to the term the New Israel.
Oh, okay.
And I understand that some people believe that when the Jews were so hardened that the body of Christ has replaced Israel.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, that Christians have replaced the Jews in God's plan.
Yes.
Right. That's a common misconception that actually I think got its start in the Roman Catholic Church teaching, and so some of the Protestant churches, when they came out of Roman Catholicism with the Protestant Reformation, they carried that along with them. And the thought is that as Christians, we're completed Jews, which in a sense we are, but also the Bible makes it clear that there's neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ. But the Catholic Church had taught that because the Jews rejected Jesus and then that they had him, allowed him to be crucified, that as a consequence that God washed his hands of the Jews, and now all of the promises going to the Jews are supposed to be transferred to the Christians. And, you can see in Daniel chapter 9, there's a tremendous prophecy there that tells us that the Jews would be cut off for a time, but that God was not going to cease dealing with them. And we're in a period of time where God has... in a sense, set them aside for the moment, but it's for a period of time. They're going to be used of God again. Let me see. I was just trying to see where I can hit this so I can hit it really kind of quickly here. In Daniel chapter 9, the prophecy is starting in verse 24, says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And by the way, the weeks here, these represent years, and they're weeks of years. Each day would equate with a year, in the prophetic sense here. And if you follow that through from the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the time that Jesus arrived on Palm Sunday, equates to Daniel's prophecy here. And then it says, the street should be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. but not for himself. And this is the prophecy that Jesus would be crucified. He was cut off, not for himself, but for us. And then it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's the prediction of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which happened in the year 70. And then it says, in the end thereof shall come of the flood, and the end of the war, desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So since Messiah was cut off, until that was the end of the timekeeping, and then it starts again with this last week, and this week that we're talking about here is the 7 years of the tribulation period. And so you can see that this was all planned, that God would do this so that it was 70 weeks determined upon thy people, meaning the Jewish people, and thy holy city, meaning Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and make an end of sins and make reconciliation for iniquity. But what he's saying here is to judge them for their sin and their rejection of God and his prophets, and then finally of the Messiah, and then to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That means to bring in the millennial reign of Christ. And so this last week, which is yet future, starts when the prince of the people that come that destroy the temple, which is the Romans, he confirms a covenant with many, many having to do with the Jewish people for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to declare himself to be God. And so the people that are here will either, worship him as God and receive the mark of the beast, that's the in Revelation, and worship him as God in the flesh, or not, and be executed, by the Antichrist government. And so you can see that it's planned what we're going through. God did not reject the Jewish people and wash his hands of them completely. They're set aside for a time. And Paul even wrote about that in Romans. I'll give you another passage here. In Romans chapter, chapter 11, and he starts out by saying in verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And then he goes on talking for a little bit. And as you go further down into the chapter, toward the bottom of the chapter, he says in verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness for Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And this is talking about the Jewish people in a future time when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Israel will recognize Jesus as the Messiah, and he'll take away their sins because they're going to turn to him and accept him as their as the Messiah. And so you can see again that there's a blindness happened to Israel for a time. And so again, what we're going through is all predicted. And then the new Israel, what we find in the book of Revelation after the tribulation is the millennial reign of Christ. And there is an Israel there that Jesus rules and reigns from the temple over all the world, from Israel and the Temple Mount. So I kind of went through a lot of stuff there, but hopefully that helped you a little bit with what we were asking about.
Yes.
So it's I kind of pouring a 10-gallon bucket into your teacup, in a sense, trying to not, I know it's kind of a lot at one time, but what I'm trying to get across is that the Bible predicted that there would be a time when the Jews would be set aside for a time, mm-hmm. and they would even become enemies of the true believers. But at the same time, God still has promises for them. and they will rule and reign with Christ over the world in a literal kingdom. And the prince of those people, my personal opinion, it'll be King David, will be a ruler underneath Christ, helping rule over the world. And there's some reasons for that in the book of Ezekiel. But we also, as believers, we will rule and reign with Christ over the rest of the world. There'll be nations, Gentile nations in the world, and we will rule and reign with Christ. And then after the tribulation, the new heaven and the new earth, there's going to be the new Jerusalem, the city that comes down from heaven, and then the nations of the earth walk in the light of that city. And that city will be our home, you know, as the Christian believers of this period of time. But on that new earth will be the Jewish believers from the Old Testament, the Jewish believers from the tribulation and the millennial kingdom, and the Gentile believers from the Old Testament, and the Gentile believers from the tribulation and the millennial kingdom. But we, as the believers during this dispensation of grace, which some people call the church age, we will be the ones that dwell in the New Jerusalem. So, and it's an exciting future that we have for us laid out in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of exciting. But the entry, though, is to trust Christ as your Savior today. And then you know that you'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, as the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll be with Him, as Jesus said in John 14, that He's preparing a place for us. And we'll be with Him, and then we'll return with Him. In Revelation chapter 19, as Jesus defeats the Antichrist and his armies, so it's an exciting future God has yet in store.
Amen. Yeah. Let me. I have another question if you have the time.
Sure. I got a few callers calling in, but we'll get to them. And
I heard a Roman Catholic speaker recently, and I had never heard this, but he said that. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a type of, that she represents the Ark of the New Covenant.
I've heard some similar things, and not coming from a Roman Catholic background myself, all I know basically is what Roman Catholics have told me, and I also read the official Roman Catholic Catechism, which was written by... Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict, the previous pope, and he wrote it at the behest of Pope John Paul II, and he has a whole section in there on Mary, and it's because of the Ark because she bore the Christ child,
right? Just as what was in the Ark, that she bore Christ, and He's the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
And He fulfilled the law.
Yeah, and in the Ark, when they put it in the temp or the tabernacle, remember they had the manna in there, plus the Ark of the tablets of stone,
right,
that Moses
right.
received. And I can see where you make that analogy with Mary.
Of course, you know they use it as a way of making her higher. And instead of, just a type, they make it more of another way of trying to worship her.
Right, and they try to elevate her up.
Right.
They say she was perfect without sin, and of course, as I had this conversation with somebody one time that was representing the Legion of Merit, and she said, well, only a sinless person can bear a sinless person, and meaning that because Jesus was without sin, He had to be bore by a sinless person, because otherwise He'd be tainted. And of course, that fails to account for the fact that the sin nature that we inherit comes from our father, not our mother, and that's why there had to be a virgin birth, so there would be no passing of the sin nature, because by one man, that's Adam, sin came into the world, and death by sin. And so also, there's other things too with that, but try to shorten this down a little bit. But I said, well, then if Mary was without sin, her mother would have had to be without sin, because if only a sinless person could bury a sinless person, then she said, well, that's right. Some of us believe that. And I said, well, that can't be true, because Mary is a descendant of Eve. The Bible says Eve is the mother of all living. Every man, woman, and child on earth today is a descendant of Eve. And Eve very much was a sinner, because she certainly sinned. It's right there in Genesis chapter 3. So, you know, the logic falls apart. And besides, you don't need that. All God had to do was take an imperfect woman, Mary, but she was honored in a tremendous way. And she loved God. She was faithful. And God gave her the tremendous blessing of bearing the Christ child. And she even referred to Jesus as her Lord, I think, as her Savior. So, so hopefully that was a quick answer there after my long one.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that, and thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you
very much. And we've got Tom in St. Petersburg calling in from the South. So, Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor L. Yep, I'm calling from the Amen Corner down here in St. Pete.
Now, I got to ask you, what's the temperature down there?
It's approximately 60.
Well, how many times does 5 go into 60?
12.
My house.
Well, you know, actually, Pastor, that's why I was calling, because, you know, I hear you talking about the weather as you get out of the car, and I just wanted to commend you and thank you for your ministry, because, to come out of your warm house and, travel down the road and on a Sunday night at 11 o'clock is a wonderful ministry. And the verse that came to my mind about it, and we all have our ministries, but with 1 Corinthians 15:58, which is, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
I think for people like you who travel the cold roads in the wintertime, your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and I just appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you. And you know, that is a good verse there. That's an encouraging verse, that's for sure. But, you know, God's enabled us to do this. And I was trying to think. I've been doing this for, 9.5 years, I think. I believe it's 9 or 10.5 years. I guess we've been doing it 10.5 years. And not bragging on myself, but it's only due to God's grace that he's made it possible. Every Sunday night for 10.5 years, I've been sitting in this chair with this microphone. And I would have never thought it possible. When we started doing this ministry, we were thinking, well, this is a new thing, a new opportunity. Let's see if we can do it for at least a year and see how it goes.
Yes, and then to reach down to Florida, I presume.
Yeah, well, we've been in the Florida market for about a year and a half. In fact, our contract is just coming up to extend down there, I think, for another 6 months. So we enjoy Florida. Was a great fit because, you know, we're talking about the weather. There's a lot of people. My grandmother, when I was growing up, my grandmother would go down after Christmas. Every year after Christmas, we'd take her to the airport. She'd fly down to Tampa because my aunt lived in Tampa, and she would be down in Tampa until a little before Easter. So she would go down. She was a snowbird. So that's why I said Florida's a great fit, because so many people from Northeast Ohio head down to Tampa in the wintertime, or into Florida in general in the winter. So
Your program reminded me of a program I did grow up in Cleveland. I grew up in Lakewood. And
there we go. See,
when I was in elementary school, there was a program on called the Pastor's Study, and it was also on Sunday evening. And I remember, I think it was one of the things that got me interested in the Word of God. Again, just thinking that saw, you know, a man of God late in the evening would go on the radio and explain the Word of God. And I thought that was absolutely wonderful, and I believe that helped me to get involved in God's Word. So, you know, again, I just commend you on your ministry.
Well, thank you. And that's our prayer, because we know that most people that listen to the radio program are never going to visit our church. I mean, we invite people to visit our church, but we're not a very big church. We're smaller than most people's Sunday school class, probably.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, we don't let that limit us. God opened a door for us, and we thought, well, hey, if people aren't coming into our doors, maybe we can get into their doors through the radio. And just be a blessing. try to be hopefully a somewhat sane voice on the radio, trying to bring clarity to some scripture and to help point people to Christ. Because one of the things that we say, you know, you don't have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So we just try to help people and minister to people and people they'll never see until, Lord willing, we get to heaven. And it'd be nice to meet people in heaven that say, you know, you were an encouragement. You helped me find Christ. And to find people in heaven that got saved through this ministry that we never knew about, or that were encouraged in their growth with Christ that we never knew about, I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, at the same time, God gave us an open door, so we figured we'll take it as long as he gives it to us.
Absolutely. And next time I come visit Cleveland, I will come to your church service, and that would be great to meet you.
Well, I appreciate that, and we're really thankful for that. So, well, stay warm down there.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor, and you have a blessed evening.
Thank you. You too. I appreciate that call. Thank you very much. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Allen. I think we're going to try and get Jeremiah squeezed in here yet. Jeremiah, welcome to the program. Can we get you in? Where are we at? Having trouble. All right, we got about 30 seconds left there. So, Jeremiah, if you want to say something real quick, and we'll hold you over if necessary. So, but
until after the break.
Okay, we'll wait and hold you over until after the break. All right, sounds good, Jeremiah. And we got another caller online. We got Nancy waiting too. And if you'll wait until after our break, that's coming up in just a few seconds. And stay tuned. We've got another half hour. We'll be on till midnight. And hope you'll stick with us tonight and give us a call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll stick with us and even join in the conversation if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And also, I want to remind you that not only are we brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And they're located on the east side of Cleveland, and they're on Turney Road, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can find them online at East Coast Pizza. GarfieldHeights.com. That's East Coast Pizza, GarfieldHeights.com. And I neglected to say in the last half hour, our website for the program is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can link to them from that site as well. But we mentioned them because if you're in the area, it's great pizza and you'll enjoy it. And if you go in and, or give them a call at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, and mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you've got a restaurant and you're looking for a good pizza to add to your existing restaurant, or maybe you want to start a pizza shop yourself, and the two of the key ingredients to have a successful pizza shop is a great pizza dough and a great pizza sauce. And Gus has developed his own pizza dough, his own pizza sauce, and it's excellent. And I love it. I try to get one about every week myself. But you can find out how you can add pizza to your own restaurant or start your own restaurant, and he'll help you get started in the business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. All right, we're going to get back into our program here, and again, remind you, check us out at livewithpastoral.com. You can find our Facebook listing as well for Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. And we're going to try Jeremiah again. Jeremiah, you're ready for us now.
Yes, you were talking about pizza.
Yes.
How is their taco pizza? Is it good?
I have not had the taco pizza. I've had the everything, and I've had the, what do they call it, the garlic one that has the, it's like white sauce and garlic, and that was pretty good. And I've had pepperoni and sausage and different ones. And while I was there, somebody called in one time and ordered a corned beef pizza, which I thought, well, only in Cleveland will you get a corned beef pizza, I guess. But
sounds pretty good.
Quite good. Check
sounds
them out.
Good. I have my King James Bible open to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and I was reading it, and it talks about the Lord's Prayer, and verse 16, it talks about, says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigured their face, and they may appear unto men to fast, verify, I say unto you, they have their reward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus talks about hypocrites in, you know, many times in,
right,
in chapter 6. What does he mean by hypocrites?
Well, if you look at just from that part that you read there, where he warned them when they fast to not be as the hypocrites, because see what they did? It said they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. And if you've ever seen somebody that's gone for a long period of time without eating, you know, they tend to get hollow cheeks and people with makeup, you know, can make their cheeks look a little hollow by, you know, darkening it up a little bit along the cheekbones or darkening up underneath their eyes so it looks like their eyes are kind of sinking a little bit. And they do things like that to make it look like they've been fasting a lot longer than what they're doing. And see, that's what you have of hypocrites. You'll see hypocrites, and they try to appear like they're super Christian, but they're really not. I mean, they know the right lingo. They know the right things to say, the right things to do, and the right way to dress, the right way to act when they're at church or around people they want to impress. But they're anything but that. Somebody once said they're the people that live for the devil on Saturday night and for the Lord on Sunday morning. And you'll see people like that. The Pharisees were hypocrites because they pretended to be worshipers of God. But remember, Jesus said, "You're whited sepulchers, and inside you're full of dead men's bones."
My next question is verse 24,
mm-hmm.
where it says, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon."
Mm-hmm.
What does he mean by mammon?
Well, mammon refers to the world and like the love of money and the things that the world has to offer. And, you're going to follow something or someone. And I remember one time years ago, we had this girl that came to our church. And she came to, I think it was one of our evening services, and a very troubled young woman. And she was, I think, maybe around 19, 20, maybe 21 years old, I guess, in the early 20s. And she had a problem with drugs and alcohol. And she was asking some questions. And she was saying, "Well, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I don't want anybody running my life." In regards to, she didn't want to, have any thought of trusting Christ as her Savior, because then she's going to be controlled by God, and God's going to tell her what to do, and God's going to tell her how to act and how to behave. And she didn't want anybody telling her what she's going to do and how she's going to act. And, my wife and I were talking about it later on, and unfortunately, we only saw her that one time. We were never able to help her, but we talked about it afterwards, saying, because of her addiction to alcohol and drugs and cigarettes, the addiction would tell her what to do and how to act, because, here is a young woman, she was dancing, in one of those places, topless dancers and things like that, probably engaging in prostitution and things like that, all to get money, because when the drug habit would say you need a fix, she would prostitute herself or dance in order to get money. When she needed a drink, she would prostitute herself or dance in order to get money. So was she really doing her own thing, what she wanted to do? No, she was doing what the drugs and the alcohol and the cigarettes demanded that she did. So she was in a choice, would I serve God, surrender myself to the Lord, confess my sin, believe that Jesus paid for my sin, and trust Christ as my Savior and allow him to control my life? Or am I going to say, I don't want him controlling my life. I want mammon to control my life. I want the world to control my life. I want the drugs and the alcohol to control my life. And that's what she chose. She chose mammon.
That's what I was about to say. I was going to ask you.
It's a very sad thing. I think back on that every once in a while. Very sad. She chose mammon. And she was so blinded by the devil that she thought she was in charge of her life.
What I was about to say is that mammon means world.
Yeah, the world there.
So it means you can't serve God in the world.
Exactly, but you're going to serve one or the other.
You definitely have to serve God.
Yeah, and as a believer, as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, you still have that struggle, because the flesh lusts after the things of the world, and that's what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7 when he talked about the battle that he was in, where the flesh, desired to follow the world, and with the spirit he desired to follow God. And he said it was almost like being in a battle, where sometimes his mind would be taken captive and he'd find himself committing sin when he knew that he shouldn't. But it was because of the sin nature in the flesh. Even a believer struggles with the sin nature in the flesh until the day we receive our resurrected body, the new body that will no longer have a sin nature. In fact, Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And of course, we know who that is. It's Jesus Christ. When we're caught up to be with him, this corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality, we'll no longer have a sin nature to pull us away from God.
Amen.
So,
I've left the program, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you for calling. And let's see, we've got a couple more callers calling in. This is Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. I believe Nancy's been waiting the longest. And Nancy, thank you for waiting.
Oh, well, thank you for taking my call, Pastor Al. I wanted to ask you a question about Revelation 12:10.
All right, Revelation 12?
12:10. the last half of the verse, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Does that mean that Satan is able to accuse Christians of their sin day and night?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Hold your finger there in Revelation. Go back to 1 John, the three
John.
Little letters of John.
Yeah.
Not the gospel, but 1 John. Chapter number 2. Okay?
1 John 2. Okay.
Yeah, chapter number 2. And right after talking about how believers do commit sins, and as I told our last caller, we have that sin nature, and in Romans chapter 7, Paul wrote about doing, things, sinful things that he knew that he shouldn't do, and then sinning by not doing things that he knew that he should do. And he talked about the sin nature that was in him. And so in 1 John chapter number 2, starting verse 1, the Bible says this, "My little children," so he's writing to believers here, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Let me pause there for a moment. The sentence continues, but an advocate, that's somebody who stands up for us, somebody who advocates on our behalf. And it says, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So the reason that he's there doing this is because the accuser of the brethren, and it's not just Satan, but it's the other fallen angels that accuse us before God. They have the ability, you can see it in the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. On two occasions, Satan presents himself before the Lord and accuses Job of things. And we see that going on here. This is referencing that right here in 1 John chapter 2. We have an advocate. When we sin, we have an advocate. This is what people don't understand. When they just read the Bible superficially, or they just read it and they don't think about what they're reading, they think that some people try to say, well, believers don't sin. Well, of course they do. He says it right here in chapter 1. He says that if we say that we sin not, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There in chapter 1 and verse 8. So we do sin, but we have a new nature, the new spirit in us that is sinless. It's without sin. That's where we don't sin is in our spirit, but our flesh still has a sin nature. And until we get rid of this body of death, as Paul called it in Romans 7, we're still going to struggle with a sin nature. So when we sin, the devil or one of the other fallen devils, fallen angels, accuse us before God the Father. Listen, that person.
Now, can you explain to me how the devil accuses us? Is this in our mind?
No, he accuses us before God.
I mean, Jesus. The devil doesn't accuse us. I mean, he doesn't talk to us directly.
No, this is towards God. This is towards God. Just like in Job chapter 1. He or one of the other fallen angels goes to God and says, look at that Nancy, look at that Pastor Al, look what they just did, and they're supposed to be one of your children. Look at that sin they just committed. And if you commit one sin, this is what I never can understand. People who believe you can lose your salvation, they think you can commit sin after sin until you reach a point and it becomes grievous. And then you lose your salvation, and if that were true, you could never get it back again. But here's the thing. We do sin as believers, but what happens is Jesus right away stands there and says he's our advocate with the Father, and he's our propitiation for our sins, the payment for our sins. And immediately he says that sin is forgiven. The payment for that sin has been made. The devil says, listen, Pastor Al just did something he shouldn't do. He sinned. The wages of sin is death. You said it yourself, God. And Jesus says, wait a minute, I died to pay for that sin.
Well, don't we have to ask forgiveness from
Well,
God?
Because of the fellowship and the cleansing, but we never lose the relationship. See, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
And, I know you can't lose your salvation.
You know, you have a daughter, right?
Yes.
Can your daughter ever cease to be your daughter?
Never.
You could disown her.
Mm-hmm.
and say, you're not my daughter anymore, but she still is, isn't she?
Absolutely.
But your fellowship suffers. I heard somebody say one time, I don't know how they can get this, you can't have a relationship without fellowship. Or maybe they said, I think that's how they said it, you can't have a relationship without fellowship. And that's not true. You can have a relationship with somebody, but never have fellowship with them. What if somebody was separated at birth, like twins? You hear this every once in a while. Twins separated at birth. They never knew that they had a twin. It's zero relationship with their twin brother or sister. And then later on in life, they find out their relationship was always there. They never ceased to be a twin just because they didn't know because they had no fellowship with their twin.
Exactly. Yeah.
But when they find that they're a twin and they find their twin brother or sister, then they can have fellowship. The relationship is there, but the fellowship wasn't. And when we sin and we habitually sin and we do not go to God and say, listen, I'm struggling in this area, forgive me, then our fellowship suffers. The relationship is always there. We're adopted into his family. And Jesus always says, listen, I am the payment for that sin. The wages of sin is death. I paid for that sin. And so that is going on right now. But at the midpoint of the tribulation in Revelation chapter 12, Jesus is going to fight against the devil and cast him out of heaven, and the other fallen angels, their access to heaven, to God's throne room in heaven, will be cut off completely. And the accuser of the brethren is cast down, and he comes down to the world with great wrath and persecutes the Jewish people and the believers, and particularly the Jewish people here in this. And this is the point where then the Antichrist then defiles the temple, declares himself to be God. So this is something that's yet future. As you follow through Revelation, it's very clear. If you read it superficially and you don't understand what's going on, because this is the breaking of the seals on this book here, there's the seven seals that are broken. And then when the seventh seal is broken, there's a series of trumpets that are sounded. And I believe this one is the seventh angel sounding his trumpet. And then after this, there's seven vials that are poured out. And this is all in succession. If this has already happened, then somewhere or another I missed wormwood destroying and making, poisonous a third of the waters of the ocean and the a third of the earth being burnt up with some of the other things. But these are things that are going to transpire during the tribulation period, seven-year period after the believers are caught out of the world and the Antichrist is revealed.
Are we going to be able to see what's going on in the tribulation when we're not here anymore?
I think we'll see some of this from heaven, because John, as a type of the Christian, is caught up into heaven to see these events. The believers are caught up into heaven before these events transpire, and then we return with Jesus at the end of the tribulation for the Battle of Armageddon, and we return riding on horses and Jesus on a white horse at the head. He destroys the Antichrist and throws him into the lake of fire along with the false prophet, and then Satan is bound and thrown in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Jesus sets up a 1,000-year reign on earth. In the millennial kingdom. So, these are yet future events.
Okay, well, thank you very much for explaining that.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for the question.
Give time for the next caller. Thank you.
All right, we do have another caller calling in, so thank you very much. I appreciate that call. And we've got Teresa calling in tonight from Tallahassee. Welcome to the program tonight, Teresa.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sorry to keep you waiting, but we've been busy tonight. That's a good problem to have.
That's okay. You've touched a couple of times tonight about tribulation and Armageddon and all that, and I have a question. I know you just said that all the Christians will be caught up in the air out of it, so maybe this doesn't even have anything to do with it. But I was wondering, when the Antichrist government comes into effect and they execute everyone who doesn't take the mark,
right?
What about people, Christians or people who come to faith that are tied up in the world system in situations such as probation, prison, state mental hospitals, stuff like that? Would they be forced in those situations to take the mark, or would they execute them in those situations, do you think? Or?
A good question. First and foremost, though, any believer that may be in a a situation where they're, for instance, incarcerated, and there's believers that are incarcerated. We have people who listen from prison in various spots to the program, and we're glad and thankful to be able to minister to them. There are people who get in prison, and they find Christ, and they trust Christ as their Savior. At the time of the rapture, the catching away of the believers, they will be caught up into heaven. So immediately after the rapture, all genuine born-again believers will be gone from the world. But the Bible makes it very clear that after that takes place, and as the Antichrist comes to power, a great many people will realize that Jesus is the Messiah. As I said in the last half hour of prayer, we were talking about the Jewish people, about how there's coming a point about the midpoint of the tribulation where the Jewish people who are on earth at that time, as a people, as a nation, not every single one of them, obviously, but as a group, will embrace Christ as the Messiah. And even prior to that, right after, at the beginning of the tribulation, there's 144,000 Jewish men that become sealed, and they're believers, and they go out into the world preaching the gospel. So a lot of people will come to Christ during that time. The midpoint of the tribulation, and watch our time here because we've got about 3 minutes left, but the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist will declare himself to be God, and that's when the mark of the beast is introduced, you know, the infamous 666 number. And I've wondered, too, you know, could somebody be forced to take the mark, and then what happens? Because the Bible says that people who take the mark are going to be cast into the lake of fire here.
Yeah.
But the key, I think, comes in Revelation chapter 14, and let's see if I can see it here real quick. It says in verse number 9, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." And so it sounds like it's a pretty clear thing here that everyone that takes the mark will worship the beast or the Antichrist as God. Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about how he goes in and declares himself to be God. He goes into the temple, the rebuilt temple. So apparently maybe they would not force them. They would say, listen, you must worship him. And if you won't worship, then the condemnation or the punishment is to be executed, apparently by having your head cut off.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So even in prison and state mental hospitals,
they'll still have to make that choice. Now, obviously, when you bring up state mental hospitals, there are some people who, you know, mentally have no ability to make a choice one way or another. That comes into a whole different area.
It would be a shame for the state to make them take a mark when they wouldn't have done it if they could choose it.
Yeah, they would have. That would be like taking an infant, you know, taking like a 2-month-old and forcing them to do something. They don't have any concept of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They have no ability to make a decision.
Yeah.
But yeah, the key comes down to it. You know, are you going to worship and accept him as God or not?
No.
If you won't, you know, off with the head, basically.
Yeah.
So it's
okay.
It's,
well, my head doesn't mean as much to me as my soul. So.
Well, there it is. They love not their lives to the death, the Bible says, I think, in Revelation 12.
Oh, I see.
And, okay, and that's what's going to happen with these people. Yeah.
That's terrible.
We can escape that by trusting Christ today. Hey, we're out of time. I want to thank you for listening. Thanks to all our callers. Stay warm if you're in a cold area, and stay safe. God bless. Join us next week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.